You know, the Bible has some really neat stuff in it. There's things about behavior. There's doctrine. There's things about the future. There's things about the past. And depending on what your interests are at any given time, you can go read just about any subject that lights your fire, that gives you the gumption you need for that day. And today's no exception. I think that everybody likes to get edified, not destroyed. And there's some great verses in 2 Corinthians, starting with chapter 10, about that. And I thought, you know, I'm not a guy that just likes to go around teaching people how to behave. I don't really get off on that. It may be because I'm not spiritual enough or whatever reason, but it doesn't really interest me. The Bible has things in it, in all of the epistles, about how you're supposed to behave, though. Don't lie. Don't steal. You know, all kinds of different things. And I do spend time in them, and I do teach my kids, and sometimes my wife teaches me, and we get into the behavior things. But what I really like to get into are the things that change your life. If I come to you and I'm always saying, stop lying, that's going to get old after a while, isn't it? If I say, wives, you stop being mean to your husbands, and you know what I'm talking about. Well, that's going to get old if I kept doing that. And if I say, husbands, you know, you're supposed to love your wife like Christ loved the church. But if I kept saying that, that'd get old after a while. I mean, how many of you don't know those things already? Behavior is something that ought not to take the forefront of a Christian's life. If you're going to become a Christian and live a Christian lifestyle, at some point in time, you get it. You realize that it's important for you to be loving, kind, merciful, and all the other wonderful characteristics that are set forth in the Word. You don't really need somebody beating you over the head, right? That's my opinion. I get off on things like understanding what's going to happen in the future. I get off on understanding what Christ did for us. I get off on understanding the significance that there is therefore no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus. We've been freed from that judgment or condemnation of Adam. Those things really light my fire. And I'm thinking that they light yours too. I'm thinking that you don't really need somebody harping on you about behavior, but you prefer some of the really neat things in the Word that don't necessarily focus on behavior. Well, that leads into something else. I'm kind of rambling right now, but I got to get all this out. I'm thinking, how do I do this? Okay. I sat here today. We got this candle up front here. See this candle? It's kind of cool. They put leaves in it. Somebody had to work to get those leaves stuck to the sides of it. There's probably leaves down in the middle of it too, but it's about 3 or 4 inches wide and about 3 or 4 inches tall. Now, my wife would say that's about 6 or 8 inches tall, 6 or 8 inches wide. Well, she wouldn't even say that. She'd just go, it's about this big, you know? And then the kids sit there, Mom? And she goes, no, it's so funny watching that. Well, I was looking at this leaf right here thinking, how am I going to get all this out today? Because there's so many things going on. My wife's saying, stick to 30 minutes. And I'm thinking, I got all this stuff. No, I'm picking on my wife because she made such a great meal last night. Oh, my gosh. I was standing on the landing going up to our steps. Yeah, my mom's sitting over here clapping. She wouldn't leave. Anyway, she kept saying, I got locked out. Maybe I need to stay here. Is there any more of that over there? Anyway, I was standing on the landing of the stairs going up to our bedroom, and Lynn, she was barreling down as she always does, and I was getting ready to barrel up. You know, you should see us navigate these narrow halls and our kitchen, and you know, we just know how to move. And boy, I feel sorry for somebody else that's in there when we're in there, because they just don't know yet how to move. So they ended up getting knocked on the floor or whatever. I'm pretty good, though. I haven't got knocked on the floor for, a couple months now. Anyway, we were standing on the landing there, and I looked at her, and I says, you know, that was such a good dinner. And she actually stopped. Now, usually she just keeps going, and okay, thanks. But she stopped. We actually had a moment. It was wonderful. Just wonderful. So you guys butter her up. She might invite you over, okay? You too, Laura. Well, that led into something else. Weakness. Christians are not supposed to be weak. If you're going to sit on, here's another thing I had to get in today, so here's where it's going to get popped in. If you're going to sit under my teachings, now I shared this last week when we taught about love. It's not recorded, sorry. But if you're going to sit under my teachings, you're going to have to either accept or leave some of the things that I teach. For instance, you will never be in the tribulation period. I don't care who you're listening to out there on the radios and TVs and books and all the other garbage that's being spewed out right now. You will never go through the Jewish tribulation. Did you add another word to tribulation, Jerry?
Yes.
Because the people that go through those times, the 3.5 years, and a little bit after that, are the Jews. You're not even going to be here. So if you're going to sit under my teachings, there's things that you're just going to have to come to grips with. I told a guy in my office, you know, that he comes in and talks, and it's really neat. Love talking to the guy. And I told him, we were talking about the Trinity. And I said, I don't believe in the Trinity. It's not biblical. And he said, well, you better be careful there. He kept talking, so I just kind of mumbled, I'm not going to be careful. He didn't hear me, though. And he's probably going to listen to this tape, too, or the teaching. But I really enjoyed that because I realized that my confidence is in God's word. It is not in what man says. It's not in what man does. It's in the word. So I don't believe in the Trinity. I can't find it in the Bible. Okay. Here's another one. I don't believe that the dead are alive. It's so difficult even for some of you to talk to me about somebody who died. You grab for words trying to maybe please me or the Bible or God or somebody or something when you try not to say it like the dead person is in heaven, but you still use the words that the world uses. It's really tough. But when a person dies, the person goes into the grave. And stays there until, everybody tell me, Christ returns. Now you throw that at the preacher that's up there teaching that, you know, another soul's in heaven. And they don't know what to say. Just say, would you open up to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and read it to everybody? They don't know what to say. Well, I know what to say. It's the truth in there. Okay, so be careful. Well, I could go off on all kinds of stuff on that. Point being, if you're going to sit under my teachings, which I hope become your teachings, that you teach other people, and I know you do, and I'm very proud of you for doing that, you have to accept one truth, that Christians are not supposed to be weak at all. But Jerry, what about Paul? What about 2 Corinthians chapter 11? Deaths oft, shipwrecks, bad countrymen, fastings, nakedness. So many things he went through. And then, Jerry, didn't he say I glory in my infirmities? My weaknesses? Yeah, but didn't he also say I glory in the Lord? You tell me which one he really did. Okay. Christians are not supposed to be weak, and that's what I want to talk about. No weakness. You're supposed to be strong, but when I'm sick, I am weak. You're right. But that's not the kind of weakness I'm talking about. Weakness is basically the opposite of strength. Christians are supposed to be strong, mighty, the super Christian conqueror, right? Ah. Well, as you walk spiritually, these things start to dawn on you, sometimes later than sooner, sometimes sooner than later, but sometime. You want to get to the place that you manifest strength, not weakness. Now, if you're going to even think about doing this, you've got to whomp, close the doors on the world. Whomp, close them all. And not accept what the world teaches you regarding how you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to look, what kind of clothes you're supposed to wear, what kind of perfume you're supposed to wear, how you do your hair, how you're supposed to react if somebody does this, this, or this. Oh, the world's always trying to pump stuff in you. But if it's coming from the world, you're probably going to be weak. You're not going to get any real strength from the world. Oh, you'll get feel goods. Ah, feel goods. Anybody want some feel goods today? You'll get some feel goods. But feel goods really don't make it in the long run. Because what about when you go home and you're not listening to the world and now you don't feel good? What happened to your feel good you got earlier that day? Boom, vaporized. I'll tell you one feel good that never disappears. And that's God in Christ in you. That's God in Christ in you. Now, I was wondering how I was going to say this one, but I think now's the time. Parents, you reach a point in time where it's time to transfer the mantle of lordship. You know, you raise your kids and you teach them about Jesus Christ and you teach them about proper Christian behavior, which is the time you ought to be learning that stuff. BTW. Somebody asked me, what does BTW mean? Because, you know, you do that in your little text messages. Everybody, what does BTW mean?
By the way,
we know our text messengers here. Okay, so you get to the point, kids, where you've been fed all that behavior stuff, okay? Think this way, not that way. Act this way, not that way. And pretty soon you got it down. It takes about 18 years, okay? Well, after that, it's time for the parents to transfer the mantle. It's time for the parents to stop promoting weakness. Parents, if you don't let go, and I'm not saying, you know, like write them off, okay? I'm just saying keep signing the checks to college and so forth. But let him go lordship-wise. Let him go. Why? Well, let's look in 2 Corinthians. Gary's sitting over there. Gosh, is he ever going to get to the word? 2 Corinthians chapter... No. 2 Corinthians chapter 10... Verse 8, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for destruction, I should not be ashamed. One of the primary purposes for a man of God to open his mouth to any living soul is to edify that person. It's for edification. That's what it's all about. You're here because you want to be edified. Well, you know, you can take that a little further, parents, and you can say, okay, my kids have to be edified, but when I'm not there, they still have to be edified. So somewhere along the line, you've got to transfer the mantle of lordship, the mantle of lordship. Imagine a scarf. You know, you hang a scarf around your neck. They used to do this in the Old Testament. And when it was time to transfer leadership, they'd put the mantle as symbolic. And when that person had the mantle on, it was like a cloth, kind of like a scarf thing. It would signify that now it was transferred. Maybe we need to do that with our kids so that it's visual. Because parents, mamas, daddies, you don't need to be worrying about your kids if you've done a proper job raising them. But you can't go back and redo it, so you got to live with what you have. But regardless, you still need to transfer the mantle. You got to get to the place where you say, now I've taught you the word. You've got this situation. Now how are you going to handle it according to the word? And I'll coach you, but how are you going to do it? Because you got to take that on. Hey, if Jesus Christ takes another 1,000 years to come back, I'm not going to be here one day. But my kids are. And then my kids have to further the word, to move the word. What if my kids are all weak? Not strong. Well, that means that lordship was never really transferred. I'm a real activist on transferring lordship. I really am. My kids know all about that one. When they get real defiant, I just say, well, I understand. I love you. But what you're doing is you're crying for independence, and I'll give it to you. But if you're going to cry for independence away from mom and dad, you're saying, I don't want you to be my Lord anymore. And I say, that's fine too. I mean, I encourage it. But if you're going to give me up, then you've got to take Jesus Christ on. That's transfer of lordship. Parents, if you do that for you and your kids, I think that's one of the greatest things you could ever accomplish. I really do. Because you will be promoting the absolute essence of what Paul did as he delivered God's word, and not only to the Corinthians, but to everybody else. Edification. Why, if you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and my point is this, how could you possibly be edified, which means to be built up, feeling really good, feel goods. How could you possibly be built up if Jesus is not your Lord? If you don't trust in God through Jesus Christ, how could you really feel good? How could you really feel edified? You can't. You can't even do a good job faking it, because your life would be miserable. It would be a swirl of misery. Oh, Jerry, I appreciate you taking the time today, but I got to tell you, I don't know if you really can see life like I see it. I don't know if you feel life like I feel it. I think that you might be pushing it a little too far, because I've always respected my parents, and I think that they did a pretty good job, and I don't always pray and I don't always recognize Jesus Christ as my Lord, i.e. using the name of Jesus Christ when I ask God to handle the impossible. Are you sure you've got this thing nailed down? Let me tell you, I'm very sure. I'm completely confident in what I'm saying. It's time to put the behavior stuff behind. If you're mean, drop it. Take on the mantle of Jesus Christ being your Lord. If you lie, drop it. Take on the mantle of Jesus Christ being your Lord. Folks, it's time to leap forward, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You're going to one day sit and look at your past life and go, oh my gosh, what a waste of time. I focus so much on behavior and how I felt and how I treated people and how people treated me. Oh my gosh! I can't believe that I didn't focus on the prize of the highest calling of God in Christ Jesus. I can't believe it took me so long to stop diddling and swirling around and around all the things of the world. I can't believe it. At least I'm there today. Folks, if you want to get there quicker, and I know you do, take on the mantle of lordship. Accept Christianity into your life. Accept the reality that God will take care of every impossibility you ever face. That's pressing. Oh, along the way, you'll have your challenges. I'd say Paul did, as he told these guys, I'm here to edify you. I'm here to build you up. It says that in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 19. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. Today, I speak before God in Christ. I'm not ashamed. I'm completely confident in these truths. And I trust that you are too. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Wives, if your words are not edifying your husband, you got a problem. Husbands, if your actions aren't loving your wives, you got a problem. But I don't want to focus on behavior. I don't want to spend the next 10 years talking about behavior. I want you with me to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You've got to get to the place where you start thinking about the glory thing. You've got to get to the place where you just close the doors on things that really shouldn't take a lot of time anymore. And you open up the thresholds of greatness, spiritual greatness, as you move ahead spiritually in your life. It's not going to slow down. Life is not going to wait for you. God's decisions and timings are not going to dilly-dally and swirl. Therefore, you shouldn't. You should line your life up with God. He's definite. You be definite. He's got timing and strategy. You should have timing and strategy. And if you don't know how to fill in the blanks, well, then that's one of the impossible things. And you just turn to God and say, okay, what do we do? How do we do this? But we should always be pressing toward the mark because Christians are not supposed to be weak. We're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to be mighty. You should not be sniveling. You should not be groveling. You should not be clamoring and complaining about all the negatives in life. Why, one day you'll be sitting and you'll look back and you'll go, what a waste of time. Because I get it now. I now understand why my mom and dad taught me lordship. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Trust in God through Christ. Some of you have no choice. Some of you are entering into situations this day, perhaps even this hour, that challenge you to your wit's end. And it's time to take on the lordship of Jesus Christ. What a magnificent opportunity. It's like jumping on a train that's already moving. And the train's taking you where you really ought to be. Oh, you say, Jerry, I really am not sure that you're getting this one. Because you have never been where I'm going. You've never done what I'm getting ready to do, so how can you tell me what you think is the best? Because of God's word. Because it's universal. I may never have been where you're going and done what you're getting ready to do, but that's not the point. So let's get back on point that says it's time to accept the lordship of Jesus Christ in reality. Kids, you got your challenges in school with your friends, and you know you do. It's like, ugh. You know, if all you had to do was go into your class, sit down, learn, and leave, wouldn't that be easy? But as soon as you get back out in the hall, you got to face them again. Then you got to go to the bathroom and you got to face them again. Then you got to go do your physical activities, whatever it is, and you got to face them again. And oh, let's not forget about the lunchroom. Okay? If all you had to do was go into algebra, sit down, figure out your problems, get your help, and then leave, wouldn't that be wonderful? But no, you've got the world out there. You've got all the people out there, and it seems like they're just coming at you from all directions. Maybe you're tough today and you'll take them all on, but tomorrow you're crying about it. We've got to have the lordship of Jesus Christ right in our brains, because the world is never our focus. It's never to be our focus. The spiritual realities of life should encompass you, should fill you up and thrill you. Why, at your very touch, you heal somebody. Why, with the very words you speak, you comfort somebody. Why, with your bodily actions and the look you give, You love somebody. What more could you ask for? Hey, we're biding our time, folks. I told you that we're a people out of time. We're a cut out of time. We don't fit in any mold that's ever been made or ever will be made. Ever. So when somebody comes up and makes you feel bad, Lee, what do? You think about Romans 8. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifieth? Jesus Christ who's risen from the dead? If God or Jesus Christ isn't going to come up and nail you and make you feel bad, take all those feel goods away, does anybody else have the right to? If you've accepted lordship, you better say no. You better get it clear. Because the world's always trying to undermine the spiritual life of a Christian. But you're not supposed to be weak. You got to say, I'm not supposed to be weak. You got to pray, I'm not supposed to be weak. You got to believe that I'm not supposed to be weak. I know you got your challenges. I do. Well, I think I do. I know you got your challenges. But Christianity is not all about challenges, folks. It's all about being part of a family from which you could never be removed. And the benefits and the blessings of that are so magnificent that quite honestly, you could spend your whole lifetime studying about them, getting caught up in them, meditating on them, dreaming about them, that you really don't have time for the things of the world. Isn't that where we want to be? Well, get bold about that. That's where you're going to get your feel-goods. Well, there's so much more. And I thought, you know, I suppose I could probably read 2 Corinthians 10, 11, and 12. And I thought about my wife, and I says, no, I'm not going to do that. And no, we have fun about that. We love each other. We have our moments. She puts up with me, boy. Wow. Guys are tough to put up with. You know that? Especially stubborn ones. Anybody ever known a stubborn guy? Hey, guys, anybody ever known a stubborn woman? We all have our moments. But I thought, you know, I could read 2 Corinthians 10, 11, and 12. Then I thought about this preacher I saw on TV one time, and I was comparing this one guy to this other guy who basically edifies people. I love it. And yet I was thinking about this other guy I switched to because I like to see what they're all talking about out there. And this other guy was going through every word in every verse. And I mean, it was just way too much. My theory on that is if you're going to do an in-depth Greek research teaching, do it offline and just invite the people that want to come, you know. But this is a time where we get really edified in a practical way and in a really good way, you know. Because your hearts are all open and God's just pouring the stuff in and, you know, you're getting your feel goods. This is all about edification. So I said, I'm not going to read 10, 11, and 12, but I might write about it. Because I like you to understand more about the boasting, you know. One of the things about boasting and the infirmity stuff is that in your moments of weakness, and I want to leave you with this, and you know what I mean by weakness. You're not feeling good. Maybe you haven't been treated well. You've got issues, okay? You really need some feel goods. Maybe you have days like that. Maybe you have weeks like that. I don't know. And I don't want you to have weeks like that. I want you to be strong. But in those moments of weakness that every one of us have, be they fleeting or long-lasting, it doesn't matter. But in those moments of weakness where you want to be strong, you have to learn not only about transferring your lordship, but that in your weakness, it makes you strong. Weakness is a fact of life. Or as Paul put it, infirmity. Things aren't going right. Maybe you're having to run around naked for a while. Maybe you're in a shipwreck in the deep. Maybe you've been killed a few times. I don't know. Any of these simple things of life, which thank God we don't have to go through, or at least haven't had to go through, but probably won't. In those moments of weakness, days or weeks, however long they may be, why, that's the perfect time to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. That's what I think accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord really means. You know, in the churches, they talk about this. We're going to have an altar call where you can come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. Music, boom. Delicate, nice, beautiful singing, start. And then everybody, I want you to get melancholy, and now you guys start walking up. I'm not making fun of them, but it's kind of like that. But then they say, accept Jesus as your Lord. When you accept Jesus as your Lord, that's when you put it to work. Well, that's down the road a bit. When you confess Jesus as your Lord, that's what happens up at the altar. But if you're really going to accept Him, that's a way of life. You don't do that at an altar. And that's what I'm telling you. Put on the mantle. You kids, you take it. Get serious about it. Your mom and dad could be gone tomorrow. You have no idea. Life is like a vapor, the Bible says. Get serious about Jesus Christ. Accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And understand that in your moments of trial, in your tribulations, whether they're at the school hallway, lunchroom, or somewhere out in the world, it doesn't matter. Whether it's with a situation or a person, it doesn't matter. Whether it's within you or without you, it doesn't matter. When you're in your situations of testing, tribulation, trial, whatever you want to call it, challenges in life, understand that that is the perfect opportunity for you to be strong. And isn't that almost an oxymoron? Where you're weak, and yet that's when your strength manifests. That's how it's designed. So don't talk about being weak. Talk about your strength, even in your weaknesses. Doesn't mean you're not weak at that time. It just means that you're focusing on your strength. That's what you do. I did that when I broke my neck. I was laying flat in the bed, and I said, I ain't going to lay here all day. Eventually, I went out and bought a car and was underneath it changing the starter with all my head stuff and neck braces stuff on, and my mom was just absolutely livid. I said, I'll be out in just a minute. I got to get this starter changed. There's another splotch of grease dropped on my forehead. You got to have a mind that's going to do this. Okay? No time for weakness anymore. We don't need behavior talks. This is real doctrine here. You know. It's time to be strong. Tell yourself that. It's time to be strong. Maybe you have a... I know I said I'm going to leave you with this, and I'm just rambling again. Poor Jaylene, you got to put up with this, don't you? Poor Lynn. Oh, gosh. Well, I just got to tell you, you've got to do it. You've just got to do it. When you're in your next challenge, even if you've lived a life of weakness for years, for whatever reason, beat it. Destroy it. Don't let it sneak up and knock you in the back of the head. Get serious about it. Be strong. Be mighty. That's what God's called you to be, in part, a super Christian conqueror. Do it. Don't look for excuses. Don't look for somebody to cry on. Be strong. And be that somebody somebody else can cry on. It's time. And then you'll understand what Paul meant when he said, I glory in my infirmities. And then when he went and said, but I really glory in the Lord. Amen and amen.